The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this October 3rd, 2025. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on this free-for-all Friday edition of On the Line. It's been a long week, man. It's been a long week, and we're happy to be here on a Friday afternoon on what is the nicest day in Auburn I've seen in quite some time. And it sets up perfectly for what should be an awesome show, an awesome night of high school football, and then a nice bye week for Auburn. And hopefully for you to go out and do some things that don't revolve around being depressed come Saturday evening. Christian, happy Friday, sir. How are you on this third day of October?
Man, I mean, you go outside and it speaks for itself how good I'm feeling on this free-for-all Friday. It's also very nice that it's a stress-free Friday, relatively, because you get to sit and watch other college football or...
Stress-free Friday? Stress-free Saturday.
It's a stress-free Friday from the standpoint of what's about to not happen on Saturday.
I would say it's a stress-free Saturday. I'm stressed.
I'm stressed for Friday. From the college football standpoint, it is a stress-free weekend.
Yeah, that's fair. I just normally don't stress on Friday. I can't focus on Auburn University on Friday because of what we do. I worry about that on Saturday and then get disappointed on Saturday and then have to get worked back up about it by Monday.
Well, it's a disappointment-free Saturday for college football, with that's had a lot of asterisks to it.
Yeah, there's a lot of subtitles or sub segments off of that.
There are.
I know what you mean.
But this weekend could be very exciting for both of us, depending on what happens tonight on the road for Lee Scott Academy and at home for Auburn High. But man, what a week that it's been. You mentioned a very, very long week, but nice to be able to sit back, reflect, and look around the entire college football landscape without necessarily having to tie your own team into it. We have a fantastic show here for you set up once again, our favorite show of the entire week. We get to start it off with Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. Jacob's on the phone getting him right now, and we're going to dive into everything that he's been able to do here in just a little bit. We're then going to look across some of the games that are going on tonight before we have a really cool interview with somebody at Auburn University. Jacob was able to sit down with them. We have that coming for you at 2:30. Talk a little bit more ball about the games coming on tonight before we dive into hour number two, where we get to do our weekly pick'em for college football. We have our 10 games of the week. We'll dive through our record up to this point, be able to dive into those games here in just a little bit. But man, you want to talk about a way to start a Friday show. For those that have been here with us for a long time, it's the best way to get a Friday started. And man, you talk about the ability to do all of the things right. You talk about Lee Sterling winning 11 straight NFL games and also a 40 unit play. Yes, a 40 unit play on South Carolina last Saturday. I mean, didn't even have it close. 35-13, he picked it, did another fantastic job last week. We get to bring him on once again to start our show. It's Lee Sterling with Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com.
What's going on, Lee? How are you on this Friday?
Good? I'm good, guys. Yeah. Excited about the card. Rough couple weeks for the Tigers. They were involved, crazy enough, in probably one of the worst bad beats against the spread. And then following week, one of the great backdoor covers for that interception where they were pretty much dominated the whole game. So probably best for them to take the week off and come back strong. Who knows? I mean, they beat Georgia. If they can find a way to win that game, you know, they could go on a mini roll rest of the year.
Yeah, I'm just glad that with Auburn being off, that means you can't pick against them and can't tell us that that the right team is favored when Auburn's in action. So I'm just glad that that's where we're at this weekend.
Yeah, well, you watch Georgia, you get to watch Georgia and see what they got, and, you know, hopefully come back strong.
Well, let's dive into the games that you have for us here this weekend. Starting in College Station, a place that Auburn knows a little too well from last week, it's now Mississippi State that travels to Kyle Field. Mississippi State getting just about two touchdowns. Can Marcel Reed find a way to get the job done, or is Jeff Lebby going to continue a hot streak over in Stark, Vegas?
So this line has gone way up. I mean, it's up to like 15.5, 16 some places, and I think the Aggies are good. They're sound. But how about this? The last nine games are 1-9 against the spread. The only cover was the win against Notre Dame on the road. Mississippi State, on the other hand, how improved are they? Well, they're 8-1 against the spread. And if you want to be able to stay in games, you got to be able to control some clock here, shorten the game. And Mississippi State runs the ball 57.8% of the time. So I think A&M is good, but Mike Elko's in. He's a defensive coach, and he doesn't want to, you know, get all loose with the ball once he gets the lead. Just wants to get out of there with a win, especially after last week. So, you know, if there's 8-9 possessions in the game, that means A&M has to score two touchdowns and a field goal more than Mississippi State on those 8-9 possessions. That's pretty tough here. I think A&M wins the game 30-20, but State covers.
Mississippi State covers. He's got Jeff Lebby keeping it close against Texas A&M with the blackout in College Station going on tomorrow night.
You guys know who Jeff Lebby's, you know who his father-in-law is?
I don't think I do.
Art Briles.
Really?
Art Briles.
I didn't
from
know
Baylor.
That. I just saw where he had a high school stadium named after him and opened up.
Right. So there's a rumor Art Briles is helping him with the offense. So, you know, just keep that tucked in.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we continue on with some of the biggest games across college football this weekend. We got Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. Check him out again, ParamountSports.com, for his best picks for the weekend in college football. And Lee, I know this one is near and dear to your heart, my friend. It's on paper the biggest game of the weekend. It's Miami and Florida State, the third-ranked Hurricanes, heading over to Tallahassee to take on a top 20 Florida State team. You've got Miami at 4.5 right now. Can the Canes go into Tallahassee and get it done?
Maybe the most interesting thing that might happen in this game might happen right before the game, and it's the coin toss. Why do I say that? If I'm Florida State and I win the toss, I want the ball. I want to take the lead, and I want to make Miami feel uncomfortable. If they get the lead, Miami, they're going to lean on you. They're going to run the football. And here's what concerns me about Florida State and the Virginia game. Virginia had two starting offensive linemen out, and they ran for 211 yards on this Florida State defense. So Thomas Castellanos, he's going to make things happen. He can run. He can throw some. But there's a reason why he was cut off and cut bait here when he was at Boston College and bench. So I think Miami is the better team here. They were laying 21 last year, won by 22. Line's down to 4.5. I know the game's in Tallahassee, but I think Miami's still just way too strong for them here. It is a rivalry game, but I think under a touchdown, Miami's to call 31-23.
Wow. 31-23, getting the job done. The Georgia Bulldogs had one of the latest games in college football last week. Now one of the earliest games, the 11 o'clock kick, back at home in Sanford Stadium. They welcome the Kentucky Wildcats, who are 2-2, 0-2 in the SEC. Lee, I'm not going to ask you who you think is winning this football game, but more so, can Georgia avoid the slow starts and find a way to cover right around that 3-touchdown line?
You know, I think they will. They're not as good as they were the last couple of years. That's why we had Alabama last week, and, you know, it was a pretty solid winner. The Bulldogs have won 15 straight in the series. I think Mark Stoops is in trouble. They only threw for 124 yards against South Carolina last week. They're only averaging 2.6 yards per carry on the ground here. So, I mean, this is a team just dudding. They just don't have much offense here, and the defense is left on the field too long. I think Georgia, just too much here for Kentucky. Mark Stoops, I wouldn't be shocked next couple weeks if they cut him off. They need to decide, do they join the arms race and be like Arkansas, maybe give it a run, or do you stay back in the pack here? I like Georgia 41-13.
Tiger fans will have their eyes on that game with Georgia coming to Jordan-Hare Stadium, to the Plains, to next Saturday under the lights here on the Plains. We continue on with games across the SEC with our man Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. A game preseason, Lee, looked like it could be one of the best in the SEC. The betting odds say it very well still could be Texas and Florida. It is the top 10 ranked team, the Texas Longhorns, looking for their first P4 win on the season. They head down to the Swamp, and you've got them favored by about 7 points right now, sir.
Yeah, and I think the Texas is probably the better team, but so far we just haven't seen it. I mean, Arch Manning not making great reads, not distributing the ball where it needs to be. They're going to go on the road in the Swamp. Never before. It's going to be a tough place to play. DJ Lagway might be getting healthy after having the week off of bye week. Could be very beneficial to them. And their defense is rock solid. They've only given up 6 touchdowns in the entire season in 5 games. And one of those against Miami was a late touchdown, less than 2 minutes to go. So getting some guys back on defense. And watch for number 6, Dallas Wilson. So as a kid, I watched the spring game. I think he had 9 or 10 catches in the spring game. He's a difference maker. He can do it all. So with him added to the lineup here and Eugene Wilson, I think they might be able to score some points here against Texas. Weather could be a factor, though. Just checking this. So it looks like it's going to be raining for most of the game. And if that's the case, maybe you want to look to the under 42.5 here. I think Texas laying close to a touchdown is too much. I think they'll win the game 20-17, but the Florida Gators cover.
You talk about players that can do it on the field. Diego Pavia is that guy. Can do it a little bit with the mouth as well. Definitely not one to shy away from the public and speaks what he thinks and is trying to speak it into existence. He promised this team a win over Alabama this time next week. And they finally get to have that showdown. 16th-ranked Vanderbilt and 10th-ranked Alabama. Vanderbilt 5-0, 1-0 in SEC play. Alabama coming off a big win against Georgia on the road. They're now back home at Bryant-Denny Stadium, and they're favored by right around 10 and a hook. Do you like Kalen DeBoer in back-to-back games since he's at home, or can Diego Pavia walk in there and promise that victory, like you said?
So I love Diego Pavia. Great for college football, really good college quarterback. But Alabama's going to be ready this year. I mean, the upset they pulled, 3-point underdog, 40-35, game for the ages, fun to watch. But now Bama's going to be ready, even coming off the Georgia game. I know Vandy's 1-0 in conference play, but they benefited when South Carolina quarterback Lenore Sellers went out of that game with a concussion a couple weeks ago. Vanderbilt's only thrown for 177 yards in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Ty Wilson might be playing some of the best ball right now in the country. He is surging. He's got 3 receivers outside of Ohio State's receivers, might be the best in the country. Utah State threw 274 on Vandy's defense. So I think the airway should be open for Bama. Hit on numerous big plays here. Payback is a you-know-what I can't say it. Alabama, 38.
Oh, man.
He faked us out. He tried to do it. Lee Sterling tried to hit us with a wrong team favorite, but he's not going to do it.
Can't do it.
I understand. Alabama at home, again, taking on Vanderbilt. A huge game tomorrow. Top 25, one of the biggest ones in college football. Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. He joins us every Friday during football season to kick off our Free For All Friday show here in Auburn. And, hey, you've got a game of the week for folks who give you a call right now, a sneaky one in the ACC, Clemson and North Carolina. You're going to tell people about it right now.
Big game. Clemson loses this game. I think Dabo might be working on a buyout. Might be time to move on. I think it might happen anyway. This, even though with all that success, he might move on to another challenge. And North Carolina, Bill Belichick loses bad here. I mean, next week we might see his girlfriend. She might have the headset on. It's getting pretty ugly there. But looks like Max Johnson might be playing this weekend. So you want to get this game, be one of the first five callers. Call 800-400-9741. Give you Clemson and North Carolina on me. 800-400-9741. We've won 11 straight games in the NFL, hit our big 40 to 50 unit max wager in college football. You want to hop on board. We don't call it October. We call it Locktober. You can get every single game from tonight all the way through the 31st. 4 weeks of action. Normally, $5.97. Here's what I'm going to do, guys. I do 53 shows this week.
Wow.
For your show only, if they use coupon code SAVE200, it'll be $3.97, not $4.97 or $5.97. When you check out in the coupon box, put SAVE200, just $3.97. How do you hop on board and get our phone service? No one in the country can touch our documented record. Just one place, ParamountSports.com.
We tell you he's the best in the business, folks, and we mean it. Lee Sterling with Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. Check him out right now. Give him a call, 800-400-9741, or check him out online at ParamountSports.com. Use that SAVE200 code, and he's going to get you everything you need for the weekend. Lee, we appreciate you as always, my friend. It's a great way to start our shows, and we know we are one of one that you choose to be with, and we're happy that you are. And, man, enjoy this weekend, okay?
Okay. Thanks, guys. Take care. Be safe.
Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. Use the code SAVE200 on his website right now or give him a call, 800-400-9741. He has all the favorites winning this weekend, Christian. Texas A&M, Miami, Georgia, Texas, and Alabama has all five of those favorites coming away victorious.
I think he did that last week as well. There wasn't a wrong team favored last week.
I think that's right. Yeah,
and he almost hit us with one.
He tried to today.
He almost hit us one with Diego Pavia.
Well, we appreciate him. Again, he starts our shows with us every Friday. We'll take a break, come back, and get into the rest of the show. Talk about some of those games coming up this weekend before we have a conversation with a head coach from Auburn University. We'll have a really special segment for you at 2:30, and then hour number two is going to be full of picks and talk of college football playoff and betting odds and things like that. So a fun show here on this Free For All Friday. We're back after this on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on the Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Again, appreciate Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com for joining us, as he does every Friday during football season. He also comes on before the Super Bowl and talks about his biggest and best prop bets, right, with the Gatorade color and the national anthem length and things like that. He's always fun with that and has a lot of cool stuff there. So check him out if you're into that sort of thing, ParamountSports.com. And, again, use that code SAVE200, and he's going to give you a nice discount on the biggest games this weekend. But here's what the rest of the hour and kind of the rest of the show looks like. Coming up at 2:30, I had a chance to sit down with head coach Jessica Braswell for Auburn Equestrian. Of course, one of the most dominant programs in college equestrian. And let's be honest, it's been one of the most successful programs at Auburn the last decade or so.
Yeah.
She came by earlier in the week to talk with me about the program. They have their opening meet tomorrow afternoon. You can go and check that out at the Auburn Equestrian Center. So we're going to have that for you coming up at 2:30. And then in hour number two, we're going to make our picks as we do every single week for the 10 best games in college football. This week was a little tougher to find 10 worthy games, but we found some and threw them in there. And then going to check in on the latest odds on the national championship, the college football playoff, conference championship winners, and things like that. So we're looking forward to all of that here throughout the rest of the show. But quick check in on baseball playoffs here really quickly, since we have now moved into the divisional series where wild card wrapped up yesterday. Unfortunately, the Cubs find a way to get it done. They take down the Padres to move on. The Tigers, after blowing a historic lead in the division, come back to beat the Guardians 6-3 in their game yesterday. And that was it. Those were the only two games that were played yesterday.
I don't know. I think there was...
Nope.
I think there was... I mean, one other team played...
The Red Sox withdrew from the postseason yesterday.
That's what that zero means.
Yeah, they withdrew. They did. They withdrew. They
heard that.
They knew it wasn't fair for them to go in and shatter the hearts of Yankee fans at Yankee Stadium. So they just decided to withdraw out of the kindness of their hearts, and they gave up four runs while they did it. So.
Yeah, very nice of them to do such a thing. But yeah, now the both DSs are set, the ALDS and the NLDS. Or I guess all four, but both series on either side, and should be a whole lot of fun. Again, Tigers and Mariners is going to be an absolutely electric series. In Seattle, Seattle is one of the teams that has not even played for a World Series, and so that would be really, really fun. Man, they did a lot of really good things at the trade deadline. Getting Eugenio Suarez from the Diamondbacks is going to serve very crucial. You obviously have Big Dumper in there as well with so many other guys in J-Rod patrolling center field. It's a really, really fun team to watch, as is the Toronto Blue Jays hosting the New York Yankees. You talk about another star-studded team that just finds ways to win. Their pitching staff is good, can be great at times, and obviously you expect that rotation to be built for the postseason, as is the New York Yankees. So that could be, weirdly enough, a very, very low-scoring series. The Brewers and the Cubs is kind of the one that's up in the air, just from the standpoint I feel like that's probably the one that brings in the least amount of publicity, just because people don't really expect or haven't really expected too much from the Brewers. But I mean, man, you went on two or three like 13 game win streaks throughout the season, and it's a team that just plays baseball the right way, as do the Chicago Cubs. But I think everybody's really looking forward to the Dodgers and Phillies. That's going to be the one that draws in the most firepower. Again, the Phillies hosting Los Angeles, it's going to be a whole lot of fun to watch. I mean, MVPs and superstars go at it at both stadiums.
Yeah, so tomorrow is full of baseball, starting at 1 o'clock all the way through tomorrow night. The last game starting around 7:30. We're gonna have a handful of those games for you across the AL and D, or the ALDS and the NLDS here on ESPN 106.7. Still figuring out the exact schedule, since there are several games and they kind of bump into each other and things, but stay tuned, because we're going to have, again, a ton of coverage for you over the next several weeks across the MLB postseason. And we had a question in the text box, Christian, at 334-784-1067, which is always open, by the way. Shoot us your messages there, 334-784-1067, asking about the three-game wildcard series. Do we like it? Do we think it's too short, too long, just right? Are you a fan of the three-game wildcard series? Because it didn't always used to be that way, right? And now you've had that change in recent years to where you play a best of three, like we just saw. Are you a fan of that? Do you prefer just the one game, one off, win or go home? Or do they need to play more? What's your thoughts on
that? No, I like the series. I think one was too little, because when you just sit there and think about it, I mean, yes, the Tigers still won the series against Cleveland. But if you're playing a one-off game, I mean, all right, Tarek Skubal takes the mound. You go ahead and advance to the next round. Instead, you really force their second and third arms to really play really, really well. And you saw it in a couple of these games, not necessarily in the, with LA and Cincinnati, but you saw it in the Yankees Red Sox, you saw it in Chicago and San Diego, and then you saw it with Detroit and Cleveland as well, where starters were going three innings, maybe four innings, just because there's so much pressure on every single out. And how many times was a guy just absolutely rolling through three? You give up a leadoff single, you gave up a double that scores them, it's 1-0, you get pulled just from the simple standpoint of it's the second time through the lineup, they're now starting to barrel baseballs and you have to go to the bullpen. I know, unfortunately, the Red Sox, again, opted out of that game three, but you go and look at what they were unable to do defensively, essentially in one inning.
Disaster,
and that goes
and
shows you exactly why I think a three game, I think five is too much for a wild card.
I agree.
I like five being the DS games where it's, you know, 2-2 and back home for game five if necessary. But I'm much more of a fan of that than a simple one-off game.
Especially in comparison to like the NBA, right, that does seven game series from start to finish. It's just a little much for me. So I like the three game wild card. This year could have been one game. I would have been fine with that if we wanted to do a one game series this year, but that's okay.
You can pick and choose when you get one game versus three.
But I like how it's stacked up. 3-5, 7-7. I think that's good.
They're going to start going soccer. You go total aggregate for three games, just the total amount of runs. Could you imagine?
I think we should just play four game series, and if you tie, so be it, because that's what soccer does. That's what the Ryder Cup does. That's what the NFL does. I mean, if you tie, oh well, sorry, man. Better luck next time.
Could you imagine that, though, if it was just a three game aggregate and you win one game 14-1, you lose the others 3-0, but
that
you still
sucks.
Scored more runs?
No, I hate
what
that.
What a wild, I mean, that's not going to happen, but what a wild thought that could be.
Yeah, that would be terrible. Thankfully, they will probably never do that. But, MLB postseason.
There's a commissioner.
You're right about that. Well, we got to take a break because when we come back, we sit down with the Auburn equestrian coach. Jessica Braswell joins us to preview their kickoff meet coming up tomorrow.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
Jacob Goins with you on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader, and we continue our coaching segments, our sports previews as well for Auburn University Athletics as we talk all things Auburn here on ESPN 106.7, and excited to have a new guest with us on the show and on the station, one that I personally have not talked to yet, but one that we are very happy to have with us here on the radio, and Coach Braswell, Jessica Braswell from Auburn Equestrian is in the studio with us here today, and Coach, we appreciate you being with us, and it's an honor to have you on.
Thank you so much for having me, War Eagle.
War Eagle, yes. There are so many things going on in the fall season, spring seasons. Everything just seems to be so busy right now for Auburn Athletics. But for you and your program, I know things are really getting ramped up and looking ahead for another exciting equestrian season.
Absolutely. So we are really excited to kick off our 25-26 season this weekend, Saturday, October 4th, against Baylor at 11 a.m. at the Auburn University Equestrian Center. So we're excited we get to open at home, hopefully have a great crowd. It should be a beautiful day. And excited to start our campaign for the season.
Yeah, the weather's starting to cool off just a little bit. It's cool, but it's cooler than it was. I mean, that makes it at least a little bit more enjoyable, I'm sure.
False threatening, maybe.
Yeah, we'll get about 2 weeks of it. That's what we always say here in Alabama. You get summer and winter. I grew up north, and so we actually had those things called seasons,
yes.
Right? We had all four of them, which is pretty wild down here. But that makes it enjoyable. More enjoyable, I should say, for folks who do come out and enjoy the equestrian meets. And so let's start there, just about what that means and kind of what people can do when they come and see not just your girls compete, but just the event in itself for an Auburn home equestrian meet.
Absolutely. So admission's free. We're very, very kid friendly. I think there's a ton of activities for kids to do. So we'll kick off at 11. It's actually our kids' carnival meet. So we're going to have pony rides, a bouncy house, paint the pony. We've got a face painter coming. We'll have some yard games going on. I think the cheerleaders are going to make an appearance. We've got our giveaway for the week is it's a Taylor Swift giveaway. Life of a Show Pony t-shirt while supplies last.
Okay.
So that'll be happening. I think we're going to have a bracelet making station. So lots of activities for the kids. It's free. So come on out and support our team. And I think our home environment is like no other in college equestrian, which we really appreciate. It really helps our team. And it's a fun environment. You can cheer, you can have your shaker just like you would at any other sporting event. And also get to see the horses and kids can pet the horses, do a pony ride, things like that.
For fans that are there and more specifically for your athletes as well, competing at home versus competing on the road, is it like what we talk about with football, basketball, and things like that, where a home environment really does make a difference, or is it more just having the support behind you when your girls are competing?
I think for us, the home environment makes a big difference. Mm-hmm. Just having they feed off of that.
Sure.
They feel the energy from the crowd, and they love for people to get to see the hard work that they've put in and also get to experience their sport. And when we go on the road, you don't see crowds like that at all. So it's definitely something that we're really proud of and we really appreciate the Auburn family for. And I do think it helps our athletes perform a little bit better and give them that just feeling comfortable that they're at home.
Beginning the season this Saturday, October 4th, 11 a.m., Auburn, the fourth-ranked team in the country, was third, but we won't go super deep into that. Fourth-ranked team in the country, you've got Baylor coming in to kick off the season, and we're going to talk about your team here in just a moment. Again, we're talking with Auburn equestrian coach Jessica Braswell here on ESPN 106.7, but I want to talk about you for a moment because you've been here on the Plains for now 15 years and 15 seasons with this Auburn equestrian team going into your third as the head coach. What's your journey and experience been like here for Auburn and then, of course, a part of a historic equestrian program?
Yeah, it's crazy to think it's been that long. That's my time coaching. If you look at my time as a student athlete as well, it hit me that this is actually my 20th fall in Auburn.
Wow.
I started as a student athlete on this team back in the fall of 2005. So Auburn is definitely home, and I think that I am so lucky that I've gotten to be a part of this program for my entire career. I couldn't have done it without Coach Williams. You know, Coach started this program. He built it to what it is today, and he is the one that gave me the opportunity to take over as head coach a few years ago. So what he's done and being able to be mentored by him, I think, has had a huge it's been a huge part of my career, and I'm really lucky. I get to coach in my alma mater. I've gotten to be a part of this program and its success for a long time. And then going into year three as head coach, I think we're building a strong team, feel good about where we're going, and couldn't be more grateful to be here.
Sounds like your journey and your story is similar to most people who show up in Auburn. They never leave. They hang out and they're like, you know what? This place is pretty cool.
Yeah,
and they never go anywhere.
It's funny because our staff as well. So I actually grew up in Virginia.
Okay.
So not in Alabama. I do have some ties to Auburn, some family ties, but the equestrian team's really what brought me here. And then I really never left.
Yeah.
My associate head coach, Coach Manili, actually coached with us previously for seven seasons. We won national championships and SEC championships when she was here. She thought she was going to retire. And then we brought her back. She's going into her second season coming back, but she's actually from Washington State.
Wow.
And both of her sons are Auburn graduates. So came
that?
To Auburn and found it as home. And then my assistant jumping seat coach, Emma Kurtz, was a student athlete here for five seasons. She's actually our career wins record holder in fences, eight-time All-American. We were able to keep her here. She's from Ohio, and then she came to Auburn and never left.
Yep.
So it does have that way of pulling you in and not letting you go.
Yeah, that's what happened to me. I left Ohio, drove down, came to Auburn, and never left. And here I am 5 years. Well, I moved here 5 years later, but regardless, graduated and still working here and would not want to be anywhere else. And so that kind of ties into what I was going to ask you is why Auburn? Because you came as a student athlete, then started working as a coach, and now again, the head coach of the Auburn Equestrian Program. Was that always the goal for you, was to be a coach and take over a program like this, or is that just kind of how it happened?
It's a little bit how it happened. I was a student athlete for 4 years, and then I stayed and was the program's first graduate assistant, which back when I was the graduate assistant, served basically as our director of operations.
Okay.
So I did that for a year and a half. I got my MBA here. And then when I graduated, I guess it was fall of 2010 with my MBA, I actually moved to Hartford, Connecticut. I got a job in insurance with Cigna Healthcare.
Okay. That's a big jump. That's a big difference.
Learned that that wasn't really for me.
Okay.
I had that job for less than 6 months, and I was working away at Cigna, and Coach Williams gave me a call and offered me the assistant coaching job, and I was told him I would be there in 2 weeks. So it was not necessarily something that I always knew I wanted to do. I knew I loved Auburn. I loved the horses. Mm-hmm. I knew I loved those things, but I think it was good for me to do something different, because I'm not sure I would have ended up back here had I not tried something a little bit different that I didn't know.
Sure.
And then when the opportunity came up, I couldn't get back quick enough. And then the rest is history, been here ever since.
Well, good for you. And you're a big part of the historic success that Auburn Equestrian has had, just numerous national championships, SEC championships, All-American riders. I mean, it truly is incredible to see what the success has been with the Auburn Equestrian program, as we're talking with the head coach of Auburn Equestrian, Jessica Braswell, here on ESPN 106.7. And I want to ask you, if you would, to kind of explain what a normal meet looks like, what competing looks like, the different events, the scoring and things like that, because there's a lot of people who may not be familiar with it, and especially if they show up to an equestrian meet, which you can do for the kickoff this Saturday, October 4th, 11 a.m., Auburn and Baylor. What can people kind of expect to see when they come out to an equestrian meet, and maybe help them understand it a little bit easier?
Yeah, so the cool thing about college equestrian is that it's head-to-head, so there will be 20 possible points in the meet. We ride in four different events across two disciplines. So when you think about the disciplines, you've got jumping seat, which is English, jumping jumps like you see in the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Western, which is going to be horsemanship and reining. So think more like cowboy saddle horn on the Western saddle.
Okay.
And we've got five possible points in each of those events. So there will be a rider from Auburn and a rider from Baylor. They'll ride the same horse. So each of those two riders will ride the same horse. They'll each get a score from the judge. And then whoever has the highest score will get a point for their team. So you're only competing against the rider you're riding against on the same horse. So it takes the luck of the draw out. And the horses, they're animals. They can have good days and bad days and things like that. They're not mm-hmm. always the most consistent. So you're not competing against someone on a different horse. It's that same horse. So it really is who rides it better. And then you get a point for your team. So there's 20 possible points. First to 11 is your outright winner. And then if there happens to be a tie, we add up all of the scores that each rider gets and get a summation there to break the tie.
There you go. So if you are looking to get involved or just maybe didn't fully understand how a meet works or an event works, there you go. Now you understand the different events, the scoring, and again, you can go out this Saturday on October 4th. And if they do come out this weekend or anytime this season, they're going to see a lot of returning competitors for you, some big-time competitors for you, talking All-Americans, All-SEC riders as well. Go into some of those riders for you who are coming back that are going to help you guys make a push again this season.
Absolutely. So I think that we've got great experience returning in the Western discipline. We've actually got all five starters in horsemanship returning, led by Lexi Tordoff, who's going to be a senior this year. She was SEC Horsemanship Rider of the Year. She's an All-American. She's had great success in that event. Mm-hmm. She also rides in the reining. So having, you know, getting out there twice, she was an All-American in reining last year as well. So looking for some senior leadership there. We're pretty old on the Western side. We've got a lot of juniors and seniors. I think we'll also see some contributions from some freshmen. We actually have a couple of freshmen starting in reining this weekend.
Okay.
So it'll be their first time out. Sophia Teesh and Kaylee Reif.
I'm sure they're excited about that.
Yeah, I think they are excited. They've been great in practice. So now it's time to put it out there in competition. And then on the jumping seat side, we'll be led by junior Avery Glenn. So she was the National Rider of the Year in fences last year, All-American in fences and flat. She was the freshman SEC Rider of the Year her freshman year. So a lot of experience with her. And then we're going to be looking for a lot of contributions from some newbies over there. We've got Kate Haggerty returning. She was SEC Freshman of the Year in fences. Ariana Marnell returning with some experience on the flat last year. We graduated, though, three seniors in jumping seat that rode two events, All-Americans Rider of the Year. So we're going to be looking for some new contributors over there. Caroline Olson coming in as a freshman with a good resume before she got here. You'll be able to see her this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And then looking for some things from Emily Jernovoy coming in as well, plus a sophomore class that got some experience behind those seniors last year that'll need to step up. going into the season.
Is it the same way for your program, or maybe just the sport of equestrian as a whole, in this new era that we're in of college athletics, right? With all the, you know, people moving around and the portal and money and all these different things. I mean, do you see that affecting or impacting your sport as much as we've seen it on some of these other major sports in college athletics?
It's not affecting us quite as much.
Okay.
The transfer portal isn't huge for us. I think that you'll see it some. But we try to recruit traditionally.
Sure.
with kids that are coming in and really want to get a degree here, and we expect to be here for 4 years. And look, things always happen. At the end of the day, we got to do what's best for the program and for the student athlete.
Right.
But I don't think we're seeing quite as much effect from NIL and transfer portal is definitely some of your other sports. NIL has been great for us in the sense that a lot of these student athletes maybe come in with some social media things or some sponsorships of gear and things like that that they had previous to college that they're able to now, you know, keep, which is great. So that's been really helpful. But I think we probably are one of those sports that has stayed a little more traditional in the sense of how it's always been as far as recruiting and retention and things like that.
I love it because folks forget, and we talk about it here on ESPN all the time, NIL was supposed to be that, right? It was supposed to be come in and get an endorsement or get a deal with a brand or a whatever the case may be, post some things on social media because of the name, image, and likeness that you built because of your competition, not coming in and being paid to be recruited and types of things, which we talk about, again, with football and things like that. But I'm glad there are sports that are still able to do it. I consider it the right way, to be honest with you, Coach. Just going and finding kids that want to compete, want to come to Auburn, want to get a great education, and come and see and be a part of the great facilities and things that you guys have as well, because it's beautiful over there.
Yeah, we were so lucky with our facility and the support from our administration. And then we also have a great partnership with the College of Agriculture. So we share our facility with those guys in the animal science department. So we are able to help each other out, which is great. And our student athletes are lucky. We're so close to campus, so it's easy for them to get to practice. We've got about 65 acres out there. So very lucky in that sense. We're excited that we recruit kids that really want to come in and love Auburn. And a lot of times their families fall in love with Auburn too. A lot of their parents will come back here, or they might have a house here for game day or things like that. So it's always fun to see, because we don't necessarily, our roster, when you look at it, not a lot from Alabama or even the Southeast. They're from all over. So kind of getting to bring people from all over the country and show them Auburn and them start to love Auburn too, when maybe they didn't even know where we were before the recruiting process started.
Which you can appreciate, not being from here. I'm the same way. I mean, when you get people from the outside that come in, again, a lot of them never want to leave.
Absolutely.
And that's how this place works. And so, again, head coach of Auburn Equestria, Jessica Braswell, with us on ESPN 106.7. Plug it all one more time, what people need to know for the opening meet this weekend and any other home meets you have coming up for the rest of the year.
So we open Saturday the 4th at 11 a.m. against Baylor. Be a great home opener, free admission, great for kids, pony rides, bouncy house, and some other things going on with Kids Carnival this weekend. We also have a home meet against Barry on October 18th. And then we finish the fall at home with South Carolina on November 8th and Georgia on November 21st. And then the big thing in the spring, we actually host the SEC Championship this year.
Yes.
At the end of March. So that'll be a lot of fun come end of March.
Awesome. Jessica Braswell, head coach of Auburn Equestrian, thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. War Eagle.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. Thanks to Jessica Braswell from Auburn University Equestrian. Again, she came in earlier in the week, and we had a chance to preview their kickoff meet coming up tomorrow. So, again, you could check that out, 11 a.m. over at the Auburn University Equestrian Center. It's a whole thing. It's a whole event, man. You can go in families and kids, and they're doing a Taylor Swift t-shirt giveaway.
Ooh.
And they're doing all sorts of stuff over there. So
somebody get me one.
Apparently. I didn't know this, but Taylor dropped a new album this morning. Did you see
that? Yeah, you didn't hear about that?
I could not tell you the name of it if my life depended on it. I can see the cover art. I've seen the photo of the album about a million times, but...
it's more than I've seen.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've seen it. I don't know what it is, and I won't listen to it, but there you go. The more you know on this Friday.
It's called... No. I was trying to think of a really bad Travis Kelce pun, but couldn't do it.
No, that's okay. Maybe next time.
His name is somewhere in one of those lyrics, though, right? No doubt about it.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Either that or it's hinted at or
the
word like Chiefs or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to take the 3 hours to listen to her album to figure it out. That's what I'll actually, funny enough, that's what I'm going to listen to before I go on air tonight. That's my pregame music.
Joke's on you, that's what I'm listening to while I drive to Dayville. So
you and Rhett going to have a great time in the Kia,
windows
baby.
Down in the Kia. So if you see me tonight,
ask how
the album is, and I'll let you know.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably about 80 songs on it. That seems to be her album length is about 80 or 85. So anyway, we do appreciate Jessica Braswell, again, the Auburn University equestrian coach. They get their season started tomorrow at 11 a.m. against Baylor. And something I didn't know that I learned while talking to her, and you and I were discussing this, and we actually had somebody text in as well, I was not aware, and I guess I just assumed, but... the riders, when you're going up against one another, you ride the same horse. I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
I assumed you... I thought every team brought their own set of horses. I thought you had a horse and I had a horse, and you just rode your horse. I thought that's just how it worked. But no, she was saying... and I thought she broke it down really well. The fact that you're riding an animal and it has bad moments and good moments and bad days and good days, and it can happen pretty much at any time. And so I thought that was fascinating because, again, I just assumed everybody had their own horse.
Yeah, no, it really is. I mean, we went to a couple of them when we were students, and just being able to watch and kind of figure out how everything played out and just seeing how cool it really, really is when you – when you go there and you're able to watch what the horses and the riders do, I mean, it really is a really cool event. And just in case you were wondering, this is her 12th studio album. I didn't look this up. This is just off of memory. It's called The Life of a Showgirl. As she was touring her discovery, or discography? I don't know. Around the world and falling in love with her now fiancé, Travis Kelce.
Oh, God. Jeez.
So there you go.
Life of a Showgirl. Speaking of equestrian, Taylor Swift, we've tied it all together. The only thing I know about riding animals is bull riding, because I grew up watching that with my grandpa. And bull riding is awesome. If anybody's never seen that, I highly recommend you turn on the PBR and watch somebody get thrown off a bull and nearly die. It's pretty incredible, honestly. So, Auburn Equestrian, go check it out tomorrow at 11 a.m. at the Auburn Equestrian Center. I promise we will not talk more Taylor Swift coming up. And hour number two, we will, though, make our picks for this week's games in college football. Stick around. It's coming up.
The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what Sports Talk Radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7.
It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. Across from me is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us as we get started in hour number two here on this Free For All Friday. If you missed any of hour number one, we had two wonderful guests to get the show started today. We had Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com gave you his five best bets of the weekend. Also a chance for you to get involved with him as well. He has a game of the week. He's got NFL stuff. He went 11 straight last week in the NFL. And so you can check him out at ParamountSports.com if you want to have a little extra fun this weekend in college and NFL football. And then had a chance to sit down with Auburn Equestrian coach Jessica Braswell as they get their season started tomorrow at the Auburn University Equestrian Center. Talked about the sport, talked about this upcoming season, some of her returning riders, and what you need to know for the opening meet against Baylor tomorrow. So you can check that out, 11 a.m. tomorrow at the Auburn University Equestrian Center. But we do it every week during the college football season. It's now time for our Pick'em contest that we have been up to. And Christian, have you given up yet, man? I mean, you're just down by so much. I mean, have you just decided to cash it in and just wave the white flag yet this week?
I'm letting you slowly creep ahead, and then there's gonna be an 8-2 week in there somewhere. And next
my week
thing
one
you know,
is the only thing that's really dividing this. Remember, I dominated week one. I went like 9-1 the first week of the season. What'd you do, like 6-4?
I think I went 7-3, and then it's kind of gone down since.
Yeah, last week was not great for us. I at least barely had a winning week. You went 500. We've had a couple of slow weeks here on the Pick'ems. It's time for a big weekend, and maybe this is the one.
It's because you picked the games last week. So we got to start picking games that are like 40-point favorites, just so that way we can slowly start building up the resume.
No, that's okay. We don't have to do that. So if you are new with us here on this Friday, we make our picks here in hour number two. We normally use the first 30 minutes to do that. We pick the 10 best games, most interesting games in college football. We make our picks for the upcoming weekend. And then we usually use the last 30 minutes to obviously talk about the Auburn game coming up for this Saturday, but we don't have one of those. So we're going to take a look at the updated betting odds for the college football playoff, for the national championship, conference titles as well. So we're going to have some fun debating those things as we are nearing that halfway point as we flipped into the month of October. And so for now, we are going to close the phone lines just to make sure that we can get through our game picks. But we do want to hear from you and some of your picks for this weekend's games in our on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. So get in there, 334-784-1067. We've got 10 games, Christian, to pick for this weekend in college football. Just to let the folks at home know, I am 34-16 on the year. I went 6-4 last week. I'm 34-16 on the year. You, my friend, went 5-5 last week, and you are 28-22 on the year. So you've got some ground to make up. You got some ground to make up. And look, this weekend's games were tough to pick because there are some good ones, and there are some not so good ones. And we had to find some that may not be on everybody's radar, but could end up being a ton of fun. So I'm ready. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
Jump into it. We'll start. These go in chronological order in terms of when they kick off tomorrow. No major Friday night games. There is one tonight, West Virginia and BYU. We're not going to pick that. BYU is flirting with a 3-touchdown favorite here. We can pick it for fun. I think BYU rolls. West Virginia got that win over Pitt and hasn't done anything since. So we're not even going to mess with that in our official pick'ems. But we start with tomorrow, 11 a.m. in the Big 12. Top 15th ranked team, Iowa State, 14 is next to their name. They head to a lovely place. A place that if you've never been, I highly recommend it. It's Nippert Stadium in Cincinnati, Ohio. It's Iowa State and Cincinnati, the Cyclones and the Bearcats. And believe it or not, Christian, the Bearcats, as an unranked team at home, the betting favorite to take down Iowa State tomorrow morning.
Yeah, this is going to be a battle of really, really good quarterbacks. You have Brennan Sorsby on one end at home for Cincinnati, somebody that you've probably heard the name of for quite some time in college football, but couldn't really point the finger of where. And then you have Rocco Becht, who has quickly become one of the favorites in college football just by being that really, really good quarterback. Again, has thrown for 1,100 yards, complete completes 66% of his passes, has 7 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. I also love running the football with Carson Hansen. But I think this is going to come down to the defense. As much as I think offense will play a really, really big factor into it, I think it's going to be a team that can get a turnover. And when you're looking at Iowa State, they rank 21st in the country, forcing 8 turnovers. Cincinnati has only forced 2 all season long. Iowa State's giving it away a little bit more, but I will trust Iowa State to get a late turnover. I think that, I guess I'll take Iowa State to cover the 1.5. I think they win by a point, if not 2.
Look, man, Nippert Stadium doesn't hold a ton, but that place is insane, and they will be ready to go. Cincinnati is one of the greatest cities in the world. It's one of the greatest schools in the world, and Iowa State's going to run into an offensive buzzsaw tomorrow with the Bearcats of Cincinnati. Give me UC, baby. I know they're favored, but give me the upset in terms of the rankings. Give me the Bearcats. Ain't no way I go against my team up in OHIO, Cincinnati, Ohio. Give me the Bearcats tomorrow morning to take down Iowa State. We move into a game in the ACC. This was Lee Sterling's game of the week. You could have reached out to him and got this one on him. He was going to tell you what he thought with Clemson and North Carolina. This game had a chance, Christian, to be really interesting. You're talking about Dabo Swinney on one side. You're talking Bill Belichick on the other. But the problem is, you're talking about two teams that are a combined 3-5 on the season. Clemson 1-3, North Carolina 2-2. Both of them looking for their first ACC win on the season. And for some reason, Clemson's favored by more than 2 touchdowns. What do they know?
They know that North Carolina is going to have less fans in their home stadium than Clemson will. I think that's going to be a factor, or a lack of a factor in this game. Max Johnson, the lefty quarterback again from LSU, played pretty well in that blowout game against TCU when he came in as the backup, and I think he's expected to get the start. So I like him and North Carolina's ability to cover that 13.5. That 13.5 is scary. If it was 14.5, I'd feel a little bit more confident.
I see 14.5 on ESPN. I see Clemson 14.5.
I'm on ESPN. I see 13.5. So it might have literally jumped.
Oh, maybe it moved as we. Maybe it moved as we're
speaking.
It did.
I just refreshed it. It's 14.5.
So how about that?
Within the span of 10 minutes, it just jumped a point. That makes me feel a little bit better about what I was about to say, because I like North Carolina to cover. I'll take Clemson by a field goal and a touchdown, if not a little bit more. But I like North Carolina to cover the 14.
Yeah, I'll take Dabo and Clemson just because I think he's not necessarily coaching for his job, but he's coaching for himself, if nothing else. And just from a talent perspective, Clemson's much better than this North Carolina team. And you mentioned Max Johnson, who is expected to start here. He did not start last week when North Carolina just got embarrassed by UCF 34-9. That was Gio Lopez, who just hasn't been what they needed him to be there in Chapel Hill. So I'll take Clemson in an ugly game, but I think Clemson finally figures it out, at least against an inferior opponent in the North Carolina Tar Heels.
9th-ranked Texas and Florida do battle on ESPN at 2:30. Arch Manning sits at 3-1, and again, the 9th-ranked team in the country, but the stat that we've talked about all week long, looking for their first Power 4 win of the season. And yes, it is October now, and Texas is still looking for it. 5.5. How do you feel about this one?
If Texas didn't have the name and the logo and just the resume, would they be a top 25 team? Would they even be ranked this year? Strip them of their name, strip them of their colors, strip them of their logo, strip their head coach and their starting quarterback's names, and just put John Doe.
Oh, so you mean like getting rid of like preseason rankings and preseason bias to where that's the only reason that teams are ranked as high as they are?
Is that what I was saying? Is that what I mean? I think so.
I think that's another bullet point of the argument that we continue to make of how preseason bias. Same thing with Notre Dame. If Notre Dame wasn't Notre Dame, they're not a ranked team right now at 2-2.
I told you how that's going to play out, though, didn't I? They're going to win out. They're still going to make the playoff as Notre Dame. But I'm serious about Texas. What have they done to deserve a top 10 ranking in college football? Sure, they played Ohio State close. Good job. You lost.
You still lost the game. You looked terrible against San Jose State. You looked terrible against UTEP. And whoop-de-doo, you beat Sam Houston 55-0. You're taking your second road trip of the year, only your second tough game of the year. Texas is not a top 10 team. They're not a top 25 team. And if Florida had any pulse on offense, anybody that could do anything for them, Florida would win this football game. Because of their defense alone, they're going to be in it. And Florida's going to have every chance to win this thing. Give me the Gators to cover a touchdown if you can get it at 7 or 7.5. But Arch Manning is going to have to make a play in this one. I don't trust the fans to be what they need to be in this game at the Swamp. I think you'll hear some of the Boo Birds come out at some point. I like Texas to win, and they escape another one.
Every part of me wants to do it. Because why not? Why not? When there is no pulse, you have absolutely nothing to play for. But Lee Sterling was talking about the rainy games and how it could affect both of these teams. I think there's a little bit more of a factor with Texas than, or with Florida rather, than it is Texas, because I think that they trust Arch Manning to run the football a little bit more than Lagway. That being said, like my putt you tried to walk in earlier,
wow,
you already wrote down Texas for me.
Wow, okay.
And I think that the Florida Gators find a way. I don't feel confident in this. The Florida Gators find a way to get the job done. Jaden Ball and company find a way to win a really, really ugly football game. Give me the Gators 17-16.
It's like sending your son into the soccer game knowing that he just doesn't belong on the field. You have no confidence in your son to go in there and hit that PK for the win. You're like, yeah, you got it, son. Go ahead, honey, start the car.
Yeah.
That's how you felt right now. Your kid just walked out there, Christian, for the game-winning field goal in peewee football. I don't think they kick in peewee football, but they do in your league for whatever reason. And as he's jogging out there, you're cheering him on, and your wife's already folding up the chairs behind you.
Yeah,
you're
folding up the
Florida
chairs, because if it's 17-16, he's knocking it down, and we're going to the house.
I don't think so.
Confidently.
Incompetently, I don't even know what the word is, picked Florida to take down the Texas Longhorns. Let's pick one more. Let's skip this one for now. We'll come back to a top 25 matchup in the SEC. Let's pick this one in the ACC because sneaky good game here, Christian. We talk about these all the time. It's Virginia and Louisville. Yes, I'm serious when I say this. Virginia and Louisville. You want to know why it's sneaky good? How many people could tell you that Virginia's ranked in the top 25? I can, because I didn't even know they were 3-1 until last week. And you know what they did? They took down Florida State on a Friday night, 46-38. They now hit the road for just the second time this year. They're going to Louisville, who's a pretty darn good team in the ACC as well. Just want to note, the only other time that Virginia went on the road this season was week 2 to NC State, and they couldn't get it done.
There's a guy by the name of Miller Moss you haven't heard anything about since he left Lincoln Riley's offense at Southern California. Was in a little bit of the conversation for the Auburn job when he first entered the transfer portal. Ended up at the Louisville Cardinals, and it's a team in Louisville that you haven't really heard anything about. I think that changes a little bit. They have not been tested overall, and I think that's why the line is so low, because they trust Virginia now that they found a way to beat Florida State at home. And it's one of the AP poll things where if you beat a team, you immediately get ranked and you're immediately going to get hype and publicity. I think nobody's really expecting anything from Louisville just because you have not heard anything. I think Miller Moss finds a way to change that. I like Louisville in this game.
I shouldn't have let you pick this game first, because that was my pick. I have Louisville as well. I think Louisville's offense is pretty legit here because of a guy like Miller Moss, yes. And everything you said about being unranked, being ranked, being hyped, all of that comes back to bite you so many times in college football, and I think it does for Virginia here. You're talking about two undefeated teams in their conference, two teams that if the ACC's not careful could find their way as representatives in a college football playoff. Because that's how bad that conference is outside of Miami and Florida State. That's a conference that may only get two
in, and that might be the right call, right? So, yeah, I have Louisville also winning that game. Let's pick one more before we get to break. I love this game in the Big Ten. And people that don't know this game, it's because you're not watching college football. It's in the Big Ten. It's in the middle of the day. Most people won't even know it's on. And I'm telling you right now to do it. Turn this game on, whether it's TV, radio, illegal stream, I don't care. Find a way to get this one in front of your eyeballs or into your ears. Washington and Maryland. Yes, I'm serious. Washington and Maryland, 2:30 on the Big Ten Network. Washington coming off a disappointing loss, really a disappointing performance offensively against the Ohio State Buckeyes last week. Washington 3-1, 0-1 of the Big Ten. They visit an undefeated Maryland team, 4-0 so far this season. Also 1-0 in the Big Ten after beating Wisconsin in Madison last week, 27-10, and this will be one of the most exciting quarterback matchups of the entire weekend.
It definitely will. When you're looking at Jonah Coleman versus Malik Washington, we talked a lot about him earlier in the week. The other thing, these two teams don't turn the football over. They have 3 combined turnovers all season long. Washington with 1, Maryland with 2. Both of those rank for 4th and 9th, both top 10 in the country with protecting the football. You look at it right now, again, Maryland plus 5.5. But my goodness, this game, you talked about it. It's turn the TV on. Watch this game. We've talked about Jonah Coleman, Damon Williams, Denzel Boston, the 3 of the most athletic players in their respective position. Malik Washington, I think this is the first time that he might see a little bit of struggles. That being said, I like the Terps to cover in this football game, but I'm going to go on straight talent alone. I think Washington finds a way to sneak out with a victory.
I still think Washington's one of the most talented teams in college football. I think they're still on a path to be a home wrecker in the Big Ten and make some noise in terms of the Big Ten title and also in the college football playoff, right? If Indiana starts to slip up, if Michigan starts to slip up. Heck, if Penn State keeps slipping up, right? I think Washington is that team that can still make some noise. And I think it starts this weekend. I think it starts with Washington. I have a dominant victory for the Huskies here. I think their defense is the difference. They held Ohio State to 24 points, folks. There's no other defense that they're going to play this year that's going to be able to do that and do it the way that they did. They just went up against the best defense in college football in Ohio State, who found a way to stop Damon Williams, the talented quarterback for Washington. Give me the Huskies. Give me the Huskies to cover.
Even though Maryland has the 7th-ranked scoring defense in the country.
Doesn't matter. Give me Washington. They'll get it figured out. Jed Fish is too good of a head coach. Unfortunately for Husky fans, he will be the second head coach that leaves them for a bigger job at some point. Jed Fish is legit. He is a really good coach. Washington's a really good team. I still believe in the Huskies. I have them to win. I have them to cover.
I like it. What is that? 6 games in? 1, 2, 3, 4. Nope, 5. Look at us.
Well, let's take a break. We'll come back. We have bigger games, or still other games, and some big games to talk about. 2 top 25 matchups. A couple of other good games you need to keep an eye on in the SEC, Big Ten, and ACC as well. We keep making game picks right after this here on the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we continue on making picks here on the Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. There is 0% chance we get through the next 5 games in the next 6 minutes, and so this will bleed over into the next segment, as it usually does. We'll learn one day to either pick it up or just give ourselves more time, one of the two. Thankfully, this week, there's no Auburn game to talk about, so we do have a little bit more time to dive into probably the 2 top 15 or top 20 matchups that we'll talk about in the SEC and the ACC. So let's pick the ones around that. We've already picked Iowa State, Cincinnati, Clemson, North Carolina, Texas, and Florida. We picked Virginia and Louisville, and just picked Washington and Maryland. And another game will stick in the Big Ten for now, Christian. One that, again,
some people may not watch it, may not even know what's happening, but has some decent implications in terms of what happens in the middle of the pack in the Big Ten. How about 3-1 Michigan State on the road in Lincoln tomorrow afternoon, taking on 3-1 Nebraska? Both teams 0-4 in the Big Ten so far.
I don't know if you remember, but I had an unpopular opinion about a playoff team. And it was the Nebraska Cornhuskers.
That is up for grabs right now,
and
buddy.
And it is very much up for grabs, but I think their schedule is still relatively favorable. I trust Dylan Raiola.
Relatively favorable? Michigan State, Maryland, Minnesota, Northwestern, USC, UCLA. Yikes. I would say that is absolutely favorable.
I was giving the, you know, trying to tone it down just a little bit.
I wouldn't.
Okay, well,
that
fair.
Schedule's terrible.
Well, that's why you're saying you don't like it, or you're saying
it's weak.
Oh, it's good for them.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. I thought you were I got you.
Yeah.
We're on the same wavelength now.
Yeah.
Which makes this game even more important because you avoid any sort of upset against Aiden Chillis or anything like that. I don't think they do here. I trust Dylan Raiola. Give me Emmett Johnson to have a big day on the ground. Give me Nebraska.
Don't be sleeping on Aiden Chillis now. 868 yards. He's got 9 touchdowns, just 1 interception this year. His problem, and stop me, Auburn fans, if you've heard this one before, his problem is he gets sacked all the time. His offensive line cannot protect him if his life depended on it, which is what they're supposed to kind of block like, but they don't. Michigan State can run the ball. They can throw the ball, and they're getting better as the season goes on. They're doing what a team's supposed to do. They are getting better every single week. Folks forget that they gave USC everything they wanted last weekend on a late night Saturday game in USC, 45-31. Am I crazy?
Did Michigan State have a bye week? That was 2 weeks ago, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes. Wait. Hold on. Yes.
That was that late
that
Friday.
That was Saturday, September 20th. Yeah. So, yeah. Oh, yeah. Give me the Spartans, baby. Give me the I was already going to pick them, but that doubles down. Give me the Spartans to crush Christian's college football playoff hopes for the Cornhuskers of Nebraska.
Michigan State's 2-0 in their last two against Nebraska, too. So.
Make it 3-0, baby. Give me the Spartans of Michigan State. They're getting better as the weeks go on. Off of bye week, Lincoln ain't no tough place to play, bro. I've seen teams go in there and win easily. Give me Michigan State to take now Nebraska.
Nah.
Another game on the schedule. Quickly here, I threw this one on there simply because I didn't have another one to pick. Duke and Cal. You know, your historic ACC matchup of cross-country rivals. Duke, North Carolina, and Berkeley, California.
What's the spread in this? Duke's a 2.5-point favorite? Ooh.
Are you gonna bet on Brian Harsin and Cal's offense?
I didn't know that it was that close.
Duke, by the way, Duke has gone. Duke is in Berkeley, by the way. Duke
yes.
flies cross country, plays late tomorrow night, 9:30 tomorrow night.
I've put my trust too many times in Darian Mensa to be a fool, but I'm gonna do it again. Give me the Duke Blue Devils.
Mensa's got 1,500 yards on the season, 13 touchdowns, just 2 interceptions. This feels dirty what I'm about to do, but I think I am going to take Brian Harsin in the California Golden Bears just because of the travel.
Was there almost a Golden Gophers that came out right there?
No, I was confirming that they were the Golden Bears and not just the Bears. Yeah, I'll take Cal. Cross country, man, that's tough, and Duke just has not looked good. I'll take Cal at home. Remember the Auburn-Cal game a couple of years ago? This could be very similar. It'll be ugly, but the home team gets it done. I'll take Cal to take down the Dukies. I'll take it there. One game in the SEC to pick before 2 top 25 matchups. We pick those when we come back. Let's take a look at the latest betting odds across college football. We do that next.
We're halfway through hour number 2. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Continuing to make our picks across college football. Then we do need to talk a little bit of our high school games tonight because we're going to have a lot of fun with those. Lee Scott's at Dadeville, Auburn High hosting Central Phoenix City. So we'll do a good preview of those games on the way out here on today's show. And so we have a couple of games left, Christian. Let's talk about them because, of course, no Auburn tomorrow with the bye week and everything. We're happy that that is the case. A lot of Auburn fans are happy that that is the case as well. How about this game tomorrow night in College Station, 6th-ranked Texas A&M. That's right. Texas A&M is ranked 6th in the country. Blackout tomorrow night when Mississippi State, yeah, blackout for Mississippi State. Whoop-de-doo. They come to town. Can they spoil it, Christian? Can Jeff Lebby and the Dogs get it done, or does Kyle Field strike again?
How unfortunate and frustrating is it? We talked about that on, I think it was either Sunday evening or Monday evening when Texas A&M released the video of the little black storm going over the field and their end zones and logo at midfield becoming black, and now they're releasing some videos about it. Mississippi State responded with a video of it today talking about embrace the darkness and things like that. Really cool social media side of things, if that's what you're into. Every part of me, and you feel like the national media has picked Mississippi State to cover this game. I'm going to say A&M wins, but man, for some reason, weirdly enough, I don't know if it's just because we have the orange and blue goggles on a little bit when we talk about this team. I think that the national media kind of saw what A&M didn't do, and instead of giving Auburn credit, they kind of dampened what A&M's offense wasn't able to do. And with so many people picking Mississippi State to cover the 14.5 points, I think A&M goes out and plays really well. I think it's a night game. Give me A&M to cover in this game. It might be 17, it might be 21. But for the simple reason of, again, it being probably one of the most betted games on the standpoint of one team to cover a line, give me A&M at night in their home stadium to cover this game.
I think Mississippi State clearly has overperformed even just through the first 5 games of the season. And talking with some of our Tennessee buddies and, heck, even some Tennessee people we met this morning, the fact that Mississippi State couldn't pull that win off is pretty heartbreaking for them. And Tennessee escaped with a win out of Stark Vegas last week. But I think they continue to play well. I think they play that brand of football where they're going to hit you in the mouth. They're really good defensively, and they can move the ball when they need to. I like A&M to win, but Mississippi State's going to give them everything they want. I think this is a game where Texas A&M will have an early lead. Mississippi State just finds a way to hang around, but Texas A&M just slowly pulls away. I'll take A&M by 14, maybe even 10. I like 10. I like maybe a 34-24 type of game here, and A&M's going to – there will be no point in this game, in my opinion, where Texas A&M just – calls off the dog, sits back, kicks their feet up, and is comfortable. I think they have to play 4 full quarters to take down Mississippi State Saturday night.
I think Texas A&M's pass rush could be the defense or just their rush in general because Fluff Boothwell, which is a fantastic name, we talked a little bit about him last week, had a great game against Tennessee. I don't think they're going to be able to run the ball as well. And you saw Mississippi State do a really good job with Arizona State last week or earlier in the season with Jordan Tyson, their premier wide receiver. I don't think they have the weapons out wide to stop Mario Craver and KC Concepcion. So I think they could have a big game with Le'Veon Moss doing enough to get a win as well.
Yeah, I think Texas A&M wins this football game as well. Let's move back to the ACC before we return to the SEC and wrap it all up here on ESPN 106.7. Many people think this is the biggest game of the weekend as No. 3 Miami makes a quick trip up to Tallahassee to take on the Florida State Seminoles, ranked 18th in the country. Florida State, man, you had every chance for this to be a top 10 game in your home stadium. You trip up against Virginia last week. You've got a chance to bounce back here. Tommy Castellanos, or are you taking Carson Beck in the Miami Hurricanes here?
Carson Beck has a 73% completion percentage right now, and the weapons out wide are abundant, and he's done everything that he's needed to do and was kind of expected to do last year at Georgia. And I don't think that was as much on him as it is the receivers, and he was having to second guess a little bit because of that Georgia team leading the country in drops. Now you're seeing some of the errant throws turn into SportsCenter highlight catches. You've seen a couple of those against Notre Dame, and then you've seen a couple more of them throughout the season. Miami right now a 4.5-point favorite, man. Give me the Hurricanes to cover this game. I think it could be a little bit higher scoring, but like a 35-28, 35-29 type of game. But I like Carson Beck to go in to, again, they haven't left the state and still aren't for a couple more weeks. Give me Miami to win and cover this game.
Carson Beck right now, according to an unnamed betting site, has the fourth best Heisman odds in college football. And I'll just be honest, this is a total gut feeling in terms of what I've seen so far from Miami. I'm not impressed with what I've seen. I'm not impressed. You skate by a 2-2 Notre Dame team. You beat South Florida, who was clearly overrated after what they did in week one or two. And then you had to fight off Florida for four quarters. I'm not impressed by what Miami has done. And to be quite honest, even if you win this game, I won't be impressed. And maybe I'm just being a hater. Maybe I'm just being biased. I don't know. Miami will win. They're the better team. They have better athletes, and they have the better quarterback here. But Florida State will be in this football game the entire way. I think Miami wins late. I'll take Miami 27, Florida State 24. I think the Hurricanes win. They'll enter the backstretch of their extremely cupcake ACC schedule. Miami will get to the college football playoff as a top 4 or 5 seed, and then they'll get embarrassed when they play a real team. So I'll take Miami to win after that rant.
Miami is 5th in the country in rush defense, allowing only 71 yards a game. They're going to force Tommy Castellanos to throw the football. That's when mistakes are made. Carson Beck takes advantage of a couple short fields, and they find a way to cover this game.
Last game that we're picking here on the afternoon, top 20 matchup in the SEC. This game last year was incredible, and Auburn fans loved it for double reasons. Vanderbilt and Alabama. What a world that we live in. The game of the week that we're picking is Vanderbilt and Alabama. 16th ranked Vandy, 10th ranked Alabama in Tuscaloosa College. Game day will be there. Bama fans are already fired up because Theo Vaughn, the comedian, is the guest picker tomorrow for College Game Day, and they wanted a true Bammer to come and pick games for them, and clearly they couldn't find one worthy. So they picked Theo Vaughn, the Louisiana native Tennessee fan, I think. I don't know. But that's what they're fed up about. Vanderbilt and Alabama. Crimson Tide, same situation as last year. They beat Georgia, then they come off and try to beat Vanderbilt, and they cannot do it. But this game is in Tuscaloosa and not in Nashville. Can Vandy do it again? Can Diego Pavia take down the Crimson Tide?
Yeah, there's so many dramatics, so many flares with this game that have taken place off the field. And obviously, College Game Day it looks at social media and sees the whole Diego Pavia, Theo Vaughn conversations that are kind of taking place and running social media right now, and even more so that they're going to feed into that on Saturday. What a weird spot for Alabama to be in. You have so many chances to right a bunch of wrongs, especially from last year. Last year, again, the inability to win on the road, I think, served as a big factor. You get over that hump, and many people are talking about this possibly being one of those slow starts, the emotional hangovers after a really big win in Athens against Georgia and Sanford Stadium underneath the lights. I think it's the exact opposite. I think the game last week, the win over Georgia, as much as it hurts to say, I think you saw how good Alabama is. You saw how good defensively Alabama is as well, and their ability to kind of win football games in different ways. If they need to control the clock, they can, which they did in Athens. If they need to outscore people, they can. I think that win at Georgia was a springboard rather than an emotional hangover. I think Alabama rolls in this game. I don't know if that's the popular way to go about it, but Vanderbilt's defense, especially in the passing game, is not good at all. I think Chris Gordy uses the word poo-poo when he describes a bunch of these teams. Yeah. Vanderbilt's pass defense is poo-poo. Was it Utah State that put up 35 points against Vandy? Diego Pavia can only do so much, and he will feed into this game. He will feed into the environment and the pressure But I think talent alone will go and win this game. I think coaching could go and win this game. I think Kalen DeBoer and Alabama get over that hump of Vanderbilt. They return the favor. I think Alabama wins big.
We always talked when it was Nick Saban as the head coach of Alabama. We talked about games like this, whether it was a team that you lost to the year before or you're coming off a big emotional win and finding ways to get it done and continue to have your team focused, right? This type of scenario, you never win against Nick Saban because he always found a way to get it done more times than not. But with Kalen DeBoer, right, it's been a different message. It's been a different opinion. It's clearly been different results at times. But I feel like he learned. I feel like he learned his lesson last year. And the fact that clearly Nick Saban is in his corner and in the same stadium and has an office next to him, you lean on that. And I think Kalen DeBoer has. And whether Auburn fans or SEC fans or college football fans want to respect Kalen DeBoer or show that he or admit that he's a good coach, folks, he's a good coach. Okay, he is. And I think he's gotten better and grown up since he's been in Alabama. I think he's grown up and gotten better since they lost to Florida State. I don't see any world where Alabama comes into this game overlooking Diego Pavia, overlooking Vanderbilt, and allows them to come into Bryant Denny and get this thing done. I'm with you. I think Alabama wins. I think they will hammer Diego Pavia. They're going to have something for him for a pretty good Alabama defense. And a Vanderbilt defense that I thought was good because they slowed down Virginia Tech and South Carolina. Turns out Virginia Tech and South Carolina are just bad at offense. You give up 35 points to a Utah State team at home last week. Did the Vanderbilt Commodores, man. I just can't. I can't overlook that for Vanderbilt. I just can't. I can't do it. You gave up almost 400 yards to Utah State last week. Alabama could get 600 with their eyes closed. Give me Bama and give me Bama big.
It's only comical, and the stories continue to write themselves. It's like that statistic that you found of Georgia and Kentucky on the football field versus the basketball field.
Ah, yeah.
The basketball court. Vandy is 69th in pass defense. So
nice.
With Diego Pavia, again, the stories just write themselves.
Yeah, I hope it's a good game, though, and – clearly, Auburn fans would love Vanderbilt to go and do it again. I don't see where they do it.
That being said, I would love to be wrong from that standpoint of just being able to watch the world implode. Because I feel like this game for Alabama is the same way for Florida State. Of there's no safety net of possibly losing this game. There's no thoughts of, okay, how do we respond? What do we do if we lose? There's none of that around anybody that we've talked to or heard from. It's just Diego Pavia. It's just Vanderbilt. If you walk in there and you steal a win, the Alabama world will be lit on fire just as much as Auburn's.
Ty Simpson, the second best odds to win the Heisman Trophy.
Is Mendoza still first?
No, it's Dante Moore after
his
win against Oregon. Yeah, those between Dante Moore's performance against Penn State and Mendoza's performance against Iowa, they kind of flip-flopped a little bit. So Dante Moore is first, Ty Simpson second, Jeremiah Smith at third, which I love Jeremiah Smith. I think he's very good. I don't think he's got the third best odds, in my opinion. I don't think he's the third best player right now. I don't think he's been proven yet, even though his stats are pretty darn good. I think there are others who have been better. I don't think Carson Beck should be the fourth best odds. Trinidad Chambliss from Ole Miss is fifth, which is pretty wild, but I think you got to give him his flowers. Fernando Mendoza is sixth, Julian Say in seventh, and then Diego Pavia at eighth. So a lot of quarterbacks in there for that Heisman Trophy. So there you go. There's our 10 picks for the weekend. Bunch of great games going on in college football. We'll take a break, come back, and tell you about our high school games tonight. Lee Scott and Dadeville, Auburn High in Central Phoenix City. We talk about that and wrap up the Friday edition of the show right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app. Come on.
winding down here on the Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Been a great show today, man. If you missed any of it, check it out on our station website in the podcast center at ESPNAU.com. We talked to Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. We also had an interview with the Auburn University equestrian coach, Jessica Braswell, to talk about their season beginning tomorrow. And you can go out and be at the event at the meet 11 a.m. at the Auburn University Equestrian Center for the fourth-ranked team in the country. So I talked about that and with her in hour number one. And then we've made a lot of our game picks here in hour number two, the 10 best games in college football, as Auburn's on a bye. I mean, I don't hopefully people are going to enjoy this weekend and not do a ton. Every team that I either root for or cover or do whatever, they're all on a bye this weekend. So pretty convenient, other than our high school games, of course, which we have coming up tonight. As Lee Scott hits the road again coming off a bye week, you guys are taking on the Tigers of Dadeville.
Yeah, well, before that, I mean, yeah, go enjoy the weekend. A high of 79 today, a high of 78 tomorrow.
Yeah, and beautiful, man.
A high of 79 with a little bit of rain on Sunday, but man, it feels like the fall might finally be here, which is really, really nice, and we are very much thankful for it on the high school side of things. Yeah, Lee Scott Academy traveling about 30 minutes up the road to take on the Dadeville Tigers. It's the third time in four games that Lee Scott will be taking on the Tigers, and I know that mascot for certain now, despite what my post-game outros usually say. I'll have to remember the mascot of whoever we're playing next week, and I won't remember that until I've started the broadcast close. But no, it should be a really, really fun game. Lee Scott Academy 5-0, 3-0 in region play. And found out today, talking with Coach Buster Daniel and Coach Jacob Osman, that a win tonight secures Lee Scott a spot in the playoffs, regardless of the seed. You can get picky with that later on down the stretch. But a win tonight over Dadeville guarantees a secured spot in the 3A AHSAA state playoffs, which means that much more because this is the game last year that Lee Scott kind of circled as the game that knocked them out of having that chance to make a playoff run. So there's a lot more on the line for this game than just simply a 1-0 record. You're defending, again, the target on your back, being undefeated both on your season and in region play, so looking to continue that. You're also, for one of the very few times, you're hoping for a Glenwood win, because Glenwood is taking on Randolph County. And if Glenwood wins that matchup here in a couple of weeks, will be winner gets the one seed, loser gets the two seed. And so otherwise, it's kind of, you know, all three are just kind of chasing the other's tail. And so you're cheering for Glenwood tonight, but you're obviously cheering for Lee Scott to get a big win over Dadeville here tonight.
And you can find all the broadcast stuff on
on AU 100.3. we will have pregame at 6:30 with myself and Rhett Chrome. We're going to dive into what the season has held so far, how important the bye week was right in the middle of the season, kind of look forward to what the schedule holds for the future. Again, Glenwood in a couple of weeks is Lee Scott's final home game. You are on the road those other four weekends, and so it's going to be a really tough test, but I'm excited to see what this team can do. Again, pregame at 6:30, kickoff at 7 over on AU 100.3.
Yeah, and then I'll be on Wings 94.3 next door in our sister station, Wings 94.3. Myself, Rob Pate, Jack Cutton. We got a big one tonight, folks. It doesn't get bigger than Auburn High and Central Phoenix City. It's the Tigers and the Red Devils again this game. These two teams play every year. Most of the time,
twice.
They end up playing twice because they play each other in the postseason.
And basketball three times.
And baseball a lot more.
No, baseball, I mean, basketball might be four, right? Because it's the area tournament and
then the region. Yeah, it's ridiculous. But at least in football, we play at least once in the regular season. And it is tonight, the Tigers and the Red Devils. Both teams 5-1 overall, but 3-0 in region play. And it's simple. The region comes down to this game just about every single year, and tonight will be no different. Auburn went to Phoenix City last year, got a 38-33 win, which means you really won by like 15 or 20. And so we're back home tonight at the Duck. If you can't get there, if you don't have tickets by now, you ain't going to get one. So that means you can tune in with us, Wings 94.3, WingsFM.com, or that Radio Alabama app is the best way to listen to all of our high school broadcast here in Auburn, up in Sylacauga and more. Radio
Alabama. That's the app that you need on your phone. Pregame 6:30, kickoff at 7. Jack Hutton, Rob Pate, and myself, Jacob Goetz. We're really excited for this one. My second football game of Auburn and Central. And, man, I'm just so thankful to be back home at the Dock, man. And, look, for anybody that goes to the game, too, and if you're sitting in the stands, I recommend you listen to our broadcast. I know it'll be a little delayed, but I recommend you listen to it. Take some earbuds, and, look, it's just another reason to not talk to the lady, you know? Just put in your earbuds.
Or just anybody around you.
Or anybody in general, yeah.
Just push pause on the game. Ask the guys on the field to stop for a second so that way the radio broadcast can catch up.
Yeah, that's right. Well, again, Lee Scott, you're over on AU 100.3. I'm on with Auburn High, Wings 94.3, but download the Radio Alabama app. You can listen to both of those all night long here tonight for high school football. We are back on Monday, folks, for another episode, another show, and Auburn will be back in action preparing for Georgia. We talk about that on Monday, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.